That almost makes me want to change my sermon tonight. I'm not preaching on the valley, and I thank God that he's faithful through the valley. And there's a song called, Even in the Valley, God is Good, and he is. He's always good, and I'm grateful for his provision during those dark times, during those times of sorrow and grief, and praise the Lord for that. Genesis chapter 22 tonight, Genesis 22. This morning I gave a little promo of tonight's sermon, and I didn't quite exactly describe it as well as I should have. I said something about, you know, there's a question in the Bible and that only five people answered it a certain way. It's not so much that it was a question. It was more an address or more of a call to different people in the Bible. And five different people responded by saying the same thing. And I want to preach on that tonight. We're going to be in Genesis 22, and you'll probably be able to pick up real quickly on what it is. Maybe not, but I think you will. Genesis 22, I want to look at verse number 7, and then we're going to go to Genesis 27. Genesis 22, verse number 7, just follow along with me. I'm going to read it out loud. The Bible says, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now go to chapter 27, Genesis 27, verse number 1. Genesis 27, verse number 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. Now in verse number 18, same chapter, verse number 18. Verse 18 says, And he, that's Jacob, came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, who art thou, my son? And this evening, I want to preach on that simple phrase found in those three verses. Here am I, here am I. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. I pray that you bless our time. Lord, as we just open up the word of God and look at how you use this phrase, and Lord, how we ought to have a heart and a spirit and a willingness to say that exact phrase, Here am I, Lord. And I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, please do something that only you can do, and that is directly speak to a heart so clearly, so undoubtedly that we know it's from you. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd empty me of self, fill me with thy spirit. Please give me the ability to speak clearly and be able to concentrate. I pray I'd have the power of God to preach the truth tonight. So please anoint me with that ability so that people can hear from you through your word. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear. Bless the time in your precious book. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The phrase, here am I, is found 16 times in the Word of God. Four times it has to do with a father and son conversation, such as we saw in the three verses that we looked at. Four times it involved Samuel and Eli. And I'm sure you're familiar with that story in 1 Samuel chapter 3. So four times it had to do with a father and son conversation. Then four times it involved Saul and Samuel and Eli. Once it involved Saul calling an Amalekite. So that would be number 9, if you keep in track. Four times between the father and son, such as we saw with Abraham and Isaac, then Jacob and Isaac. So four times between a father and son conversation. Four times between Samuel and Eli. That's 8. The 9th time would be Saul and an Amalekite. A 10th time would be David speaking to Zadok, the priest. So there's 10 times that phrase, here am I, is used in the Word of God. I said it was mentioned 16 times. So if you're good at math, that's 6 remaining. The other 6 times, it involves man responding to God's calling. Man's responding to God's calling. 5 men answered the Lord by saying, here am I. God called, God addressed them. And these 5 men said to the Lord, Lord, here am I? I love our King James Bible, and just something special about it. A lot of the other versions will not have this phrase. They'll have the phrase, here I am, okay? And that's maybe how we would probably say it in English today, perhaps. But I love the fact that the King James says, here am I. The reason I like that is because when we say, here I am, there's only one person that can truly say, here I am, because he is the I am of the I am. And so I like the fact that here am I. We are not saying that, we're not using God's name. We're not saying, here I am, I'm not God, as much as this one lady tried to convince me that I was God on Thursday night as we were out soul winning, and she said, no, we're all gods, and we all can have energy from the earth and all this nonsense she was talking about. And I said, well, so you don't believe that we're all sinners? She says, oh, no, we're all sinners. And I said, okay, we're all sinners, but we're all gods. And but she didn't, I don't think she put the two and two together. But anyway, I love how the fact that the Bible, the King James Bible here says, here am I. That's the phrase found 16 times. Tonight, I want to look at the five men who responded to God's call and said to God, God, here am I. Genesis chapter 22, we want to go back there. And we're going to see God call to Abraham. He's going to use an angel, the angel of the Lord. Some perhaps would believe that the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ himself. And I would lean that way, but regardless, whether it is Christ speaking or just another high-ranking angel that the Lord told to speak unto Abraham, this is call is from the Lord, it's from God. In Genesis 22, verse number 11, it says this, Genesis 22, 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Abraham was about ready to sacrifice his son Isaac, his son that he had waited many years for, his only son, and he's about ready to sacrifice him there on an altar that he built there on the Mount Moriah. And just before he's about ready to plunge that knife into his son, the angel of the Lord calls out to him, says, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Abraham would lift up his eyes. He would see a ram caught in the thickets, and God provided a sacrifice. God is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide, and the Lord did provide a sacrifice. He provided that ram caught in the thickets of that bush, and that ram was the replacement for Isaac. But you notice there in verse number 11, Abraham answered God's call, here am I. Abraham answered God's call when his obedience to God was being tested. I wonder if we would answer to God like that when we're being tested, when we're being asked to do something that makes absolutely no sense to us, when we're being asked to do something that we don't want to do, when we're being asked to just trust Him despite our feelings, our emotions, our circumstances. Would we respond, okay, God, here am I. I'm here. I'm your servant. I know you're testing me, but I'm willing to obey. God is looking for his children to be obedient. And Abraham answered God's call when his obedience to God was being tested. Someone once said the only ability that God is looking for is availability. God wants to know that you're open to whatever he wants you to do. Despite the circumstances, despite the reasoning of it all, God wants us to obey. And to obey by saying, here am I, Lord. I'm willing to do your will. I'm willing to do your work. I'm willing to do your commands. So Abraham is one man in the Word of God that answered God's call by saying, here am I. Go to Genesis chapter 46 and verse number 2. Genesis 46, verse number 2. The Bible says, and God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. God called Abraham, and Abraham said, here am I. Now God's calling Jacob in the visions of the night. Jacob woke up out of sleep, or maybe he was still dreaming perhaps, but Jacob, as clear as day, heard the voice of God calling him by name. And Jacob said, here am I? God is calling out to Jacob because Jacob is going through a journey. Jacob is going through some uncertainty in his life. And so God wanted to give him some assurance. And if we were to look at the next verse, verse number 3, we would see what God said to Jacob. And in verse 3, and he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Jacob answered God's call when he needed assurance of God's promises. We all go through times of uncertainty. We all go through times of just despair. We don't know what to do. We're lost. We have no answers. And we just need, during those times, for God to call out to us in a still, small voice and remind us of His promises. I love the Bible. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every word, every line. This is the promises of God, and they're all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We have a God who cannot lie. We have a God who's 100% accurate in fulfilling His promises, and I'm so glad that when we need a promise, when we need assurance, when we need encouragement, God is willing to call out to us. How do we respond? Do we respond, here am I? I think many times we miss the promises of God because we're either not in the Word, we're not in church, we're not faithful to listen to His voice in prayer. But God has not changed. And when you're going through a dark night, when it seems like you're in the dark and everything is uncertain, it's in those dark times, in the visions of the night, that God calls out and says, Jacob, Jacob, and we need to respond. Here I am, God. I'm listening. I'm listening to the reminders of your promises. So Abraham was called and responded, here am I. Jacob was called and he responded, here am I. Go to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. And look at verse number 4. Exodus 3, verse number 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him, that's Moses, out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. God called Abraham, and Abraham responded, here am I, Lord. I'm willing to obey. I've proven it. I'll do whatever you want me to do. God called Jacob, and Jacob said, here am I, Lord. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to trust your promises. I'm willing to take you at your word. And then God calls Moses. Moses says, here am I. Moses answered God's call when he was investigating the supernatural sight of a bush being burned but yet not consumed. This bush was continually burning and yet it never wavered. The flame never lowered. It just kept on burning as if it was being fueled by fire, by gasoline, by oil. It was a burning bush that was not consumed. And Moses began to stare at it, began to look into the flaming fire. And at that moment, God called out to him when he was investigating the supernatural sight. There's things that happen in our lives that there are no human explanation for. I love those events. I love the circumstances when you can't point any human person to the cause of it. I love when there's no explanation but God. That's called the providence of God, the sovereignty of God working in our lives. And here Moses saw something he could not explain. I'm glad that God is still in a miracle working business. And tonight, God is at work. He's at work in your life. He's at work in our community. He's at work in this church. And He's doing great works, supernatural works. And we may begin to wonder, investigate. We may stand still and stare in awe and wonder, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, I know you're working, but I don't see how this is all going to end up. When we stare and investigate the supernatural workings of God, God calls out to us. He calls out to us, and we ought to respond like Moses responded. Here am I, Lord. Moses after this would come up with some excuses why he would not do what God wanted him to do, lead the nation of Israel. He says, I can't speak well. I have a stuttering problem, and they just won't listen to me. They won't like the way I talk. And he says, I'm just not able to do it. And then he said, when people won't believe me. And of course, God did not accept those excuses. God called Moses, and Moses responded by saying, "Here am I." I love the story of Moses. It reminds me that God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God calls us not because of what we are, but in spite of what we are. The truth of the matter is, God does not need any of us. God can do his work with stones if he so chooses. Jesus said, hey, if you forget to praise me, or if you refrain from praising me, the stones will cry out themselves and praise me. God can use a rod. God can use a rock. God can use a whale. God can use a sack lunch of two fishes and five loaves. God does not need us. But God gives us a tremendous privilege to serve him. God's callings are God's enabling. I say God's callings are God's enablings. God will not call you to do something and not give you the ability to fulfill that call. God will supply. God will enable. Our sakes, as born-again Christians, we could whine and complain and make up all kinds of excuses on why we're not living the victorious Christian life, but the honest truth is we have no excuse. Because God has enabled us by giving us his divine presence, by giving us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, and if God lives in us, we have no excuse. We have all power to do the will of God. We have all power to please him. We have all power to make an eternal difference. Moses answered the call of God, and he said, "Here am I." Another man was the man Samuel. He was actually a boy when he said it, but Samuel answered the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. You're familiar with this story between Samuel and Eli. Samuel, of course, was born from the womb of Hannah, and Hannah dedicated Samuel back to the Lord. Samuel grew up in the temple. Eli was his not only his mentor, his hero, but in all intents and purposes, almost like his stepfather, as he was reared up under his leadership. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 4, the Bible says that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." The Lord called him. Of course, Samuel did not realize it was the Lord. He thought it was Eli. And so verse number 5 says, he ran unto Eli and he said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down again. It was the Lord that called Samuel, and Samuel responded by saying, "Here am I." But he thought it was Eli that was speaking, and Eli said, "No, it wasn't me. Go back to bed." And so then in verse number 6, the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." So he went back down and laid down again. And then in verse number 8, the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. God was calling Samuel, and he was just a young boy. And Samuel answered God's call. He answered God's call even though he was young and inexperienced. Even though he didn't have the training and the seasoning of a mature saint of God, he had enough wisdom and enough discernment to answer the call of God. I believe God's calling young people still today. And listen, I have a dear friend who's an evangelist, and he travels around the country, and he said to me several times, Our nation is hurting. Our churches are hurting. And he says, the reason why is because there's not enough men answering the call of God. There's not enough preachers to fill pulpits. There's not enough pastors to shepherd churches. He says there's a lack, there's a dearth of God anointed and God called preachers. And I don't think it's God not calling. I think in a lot of ways it's young people who just don't want to answer the call of God. But here's Samuel as a young man answering God's call. I remember as clear as day, July 2nd, 2000. I've been struggling with God. I was invited to go attend Bible college, but I didn't want to go to Bible college. I hated school. Why would I want to go to college, you know? I was glad. I was, the happiest day of my life was when I graduated high school. Why would I want to go back to college? So I was fighting. I did not want to go to college. My pastor said it would be good for you, Bill. It would be good for you to go for 1 year to get some good grounding. And he says you'll learn things there that I'm not able to teach you here, and he says that you'll have a good solid foundation to do whatever else the Lord leads you to do in life. But I did not want to go to college, and I was fighting about going to college. And I said, God, I'm not going unless I have a very, very, very good reason to go. I'm not going. Well, in July 2000, Sunday night service, my preacher stood up and preached a message called Remember Lot's Wife. Remember Lot's Wife. Now listen, that's not a typical sermon that you would use to call a preacher into the ministry. But that's the sermon that God used. It was as if God himself was speaking directly to him, to me, as I sat in the pew. I was so consumed with the message and the Word of God that night. The Holy Spirit was speaking directly to me. And after that night, after I got up from the altar, after the altar call, I finally had a reason to go to Bible college. A good one. God had called me to be a preacher. God had called me to one day to pastor a church. And so I yielded and I went. 1 month later, in the month of August, we moved out to go to college in Northwest Indiana. And we were there for 3 years, and God that taught me much. But I would not have answered that call. And I was still a young man. I consider 20 young when God called me to the ministry. I was inexperienced. But here's the thing, I was willing. I was willing. I was surrendered. I was fighting, but then I finally gave in. Samuel answered God's call. I wonder how often we fight against God. God is calling us. God is trying to get a hold of us. But we don't answer like Samuel. We don't say, here am I. We say, God, let someone else do it. God, call somebody else. God, I don't feel like it. God, I can't do it. And make up some excuse. Lastly, and probably the most famous person is Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6 in verse number 8. King Uzziah has just died. The presence of the Lord fills the temple. Isaiah sees this great vision of the Lord, God Almighty, holy, holy, holy. The cherubims are surrounding, praising the Lord here in Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah is just convicted. He's broken. And notice what he says in verse number 7. And he laid it upon my mouth, one of the coals from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Verse 8. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me, Lord. Isaiah responded. Isaiah realized he was a man of unclean lips. He said, woe is me. I am dirty. I am undone. I am wicked in the sight of a holy God. And God purified him. God purged his sin. And Isaiah responded to God's call by saying, here am I. Isaiah answers God's call when he was convicted by the holiness of God. Closer Isaiah got to God, the more unworthy he felt, the more sinful he felt. Because when you're in the sight of a holy light, every dirt and speck is seen at that aspect. And the closer you get to the holiness of God, the more unworthy you'll feel, the more humble you'll be. Isaiah, in humility, said, here am I, God. Send me. I'll go. God did not direct his call to Isaiah necessarily in this verse. Isaiah overheard God saying, who will go for us? Verse number 8, he said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? The call of God is not just for a select few, but it's for everyone. Whether I hear God's call or not depends on the condition of my ears, and exactly what I hear depends upon my spiritual attitude. Oswald Chambers said that. That is so clear. Isaiah was in a position to respond to the call of God. Sometimes God has to bring us to the end of ourselves. He has to bring us to our knees. He has to bring us to a point where we realize we are nothing without Him. When we're at that point, then we're willing to answer the right way. Here am I, send me, Lord. I just want to encourage you tonight. I don't know what God's doing in your life. I don't know how God's speaking to you. I don't know how God's directing you in your personal daily lives. But are you listening to the voice of God? Are you listening for God's prodding, conviction, pricking in your life? He's trying to speak to us each and every day. I'm convinced of that. And when God calls, it's best to answer. Don't let it go to voicemail. Pick it up and say, here am I, God. And if we obey God's calling, He will provide the needed strength to fulfill the call. I am convinced that there are some people in this church that God could do so much more with. Maybe He's calling you. Maybe it's time to surrender. I don't want you to be a pastor-called servant. I want you to be a God-called servant. And if God is speaking to you, if God's calling you, maybe it's something simple to go speak to this person, to go do this work, this activity for the Lord. Are we going to answer, here am I, here am I? I'm so glad that one day, 25 years ago, I answered God's call and I stopped struggling, stopped resisting. I said, okay, God, I'll just do whatever you want me to do. And until you come to that point, you'll never understand the satisfaction and the joy that comes with serving God. There'll always be an empty spot in your heart. There'll be a void because you're not doing what God has called you to do. And I don't know what it is. I mean, perhaps there could be a preacher in this room tonight. I don't know. But maybe it's just He wants to use you as a Martha. Maybe He wants to use you as a Mary. Maybe He wants to use you as a Barnabas. Maybe He wants to use you as just a humble servant, like Samuel, like Moses, like Abraham. Respond, here am I, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. And that's what we need. That's what we need so that our church can continue to grow and thrive. We need servants. We need people who just say, I'm willing to do whatever needs to be done. My preacher used to say, a need seen is an assignment given. A need seen is an assignment given. If you see a need, God allowed you to see that need. He's calling you to fulfill that need. Now, of course, you should go through the proper, channels and just don't be presumptuous with some things. But if God shows you a need, He could be laying that need upon your heart so that you could fulfill that need. Would you answer His call tonight? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the way You call us to ministry. Lord, whether we're a pastor, a deacon, a missionary, an evangelist, a trustee, a usher, a officer of the church, a person in the church that sings, a person in the church that cleans, a person in the church that prepares a meal. Lord, whatever You've called us to do or whatever You are calling us to do is important. Lord, You just want us to serve You. You want us to find a way to live a life of serving You and pleasing You with our time, our talents, and our efforts. And we just pray that You'd help us, Lord, to be like these five men who said, here am I. Be thankful for the Word of God tonight. I pray that You bless our invitation. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.